It's a short one today. I'm going to continue in our teaching series from John, and so we're going to look at John chapter 16 today. I'm going to read pretty much the whole chapter, although just picking out one or two aspects of that chapter. If you want to grab yourself a Bible from the back of the church, please do. It's on page 1084. Obviously, you might use a phone or tablet or something else. We're going to look at John 16, and I'm going to start from the second half of verse 4 and read through to verse 33, which is the end of the chapter. So starting partway through that verse 4, I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. At this, some of the disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but you will see again and you will rejoice. But I will see you again, sorry, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked me for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I no longer will use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Do you now believe? Jesus replied. The time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Goodness me, we could do a teaching series on that chapter, and I'm just going to pick up on a couple of thoughts out of it. The disciples have spent the best part of 3 years living and learning from Jesus. They left their previous lives behind. They moved from town to town with Jesus. They witnessed miracle after miracle. They dodged run-in after run-in with the religious authorities. They always had the best seats when it came to Jesus teaching the crowds. It didn't matter how many people were there. They were there in the front row, as it were. A storm that could have sunk the boat didn't, because Jesus was there. A hungry crowd that could have turned into a hangry one didn't, because Jesus was there. Jesus's close friend Lazarus dies, but he's brought back to life because Jesus is there. Even Peter's mum, who gets poorly with a high fever, is healed because Jesus is there. The disciples feel safe because Jesus is there. He's become their life. They feel safe. And then Jesus says, I'm going away. I'm going to leave you. Feeling safe is one of the most fundamental human needs we have to navigate the world. It impacts how we relate to one another and how we pursue our goals. The significance of feeling safe cannot be underestimated and overstated. It directly affects our stress responses, and that affects our happiness and our well-being. In this story, the disciples are about to be plunged into a short and sharp an intensely painful period. Jesus is going to be taken away from them. And surely this must have left them feeling so incredibly unsafe, despite Jesus saying he's going to send a helper. And I wonder how they felt about that helper. After all, they were his helpers and they messed up all the time. And you know, when we feel unsafe, it's kind of instinct to feel we don't want to embrace something new or even someone new. Nevertheless, Jesus wants them to know that his death and his resurrection are necessary events. Jesus is going to go to his Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit, who is as much God as Jesus is. We might have some sympathy for the disciples who at this point in time just don't get it. Tom Wright says these are extraordinary, cataclysmic events, the likes of which the world has never seen before. A new world is about to be born. And I want to focus on just two aspects of that new world this morning. Kim and I went to a meeting on Monday. It was hosted by The Big Difference, and that's where most of our food for Food Hub comes from. And Southampton City Council were mentioned in the context of how community spaces are sometimes made available to organisations for a nominal £1 rent. They said, do you have a name? Because they'd met with three councillors just the week before, and they didn't know who had the authority to make that kind of decision. They were struggling to find who might be able to help them. And haven't we all come up against that difficulty of trying to find the person that we want the audience with, who's at the top of the company or at the in the sort of the driving seat of the organisation we want to talk to, the person that has the authority to say yes or no? We have to get through online interfaces and layers of receptionists and personal assistants and junior managers and middle managers and senior managers, and they all seem to have one task, and that is to protect the person at the top, the one with the most influence. But Jesus says that's not the case with the kingdom of God. When Jesus goes to the Father, all will have instant and immediate and direct and valued access to the Father, into the very presence of the living God. And so we can bring our prayers directly to God, and no voice is more important than the next one. God hears you as much as he does somebody on the leadership team. Wow. He might respond differently according to the content of our prayers, but we all have direct access to God. That is just so empowering, isn't it? We have the same intimate and the same extraordinary access to God that Jesus himself has. But I wonder how many of us struggle with that idea of intimacy with God. And maybe that's because we've got a less than healthy view of God. We see him as a father that's got to be appeased or even bribed in some way to come into his presence. Or maybe we have a less than healthy view of ourselves. How could God love me because I'm so broken or flawed or sinful? We might struggle with intimacy with God, but that doesn't mean that intimacy with God isn't possible and it isn't true. We just might not yet have experienced it. The second aspect of the new world that Jesus talks about is the role of the Holy Spirit when it comes to truth. The work of the Holy Spirit exposes sins and causes us to live differently. Now, in the passage that I've read, the context is in the whole world that we're living in, but I want to apply this to us personally this morning. Where do our sinful beliefs and our thoughts and our behaviours get in the way of that intimate relationship with God that Jesus is talking about? On Monday, Lectio 365 contributor Jill Weber said, calling people to repentance is out of fashion these days. Many want the comfort of the gospel without the challenge of the gospel. We think that comfort keeps and makes us safe. It certainly sounds safer than challenge, doesn't it? And yet what Jesus wants us to understand is the very opposite is true. The very opposite is true. It's only when the Holy Spirit reveals to us our sinful thinking and our sinful actions and the way that separates us from God that we can come into the very presence of God. It's only when the Holy Spirit challenges us about our thinking and our ways of being and what we believe, we can have what Jesus promises at the end of this passage, which is peace. Peace in troubled and difficult times. Jesus isn't promising a freedom from trouble, but a serenity in the middle of confusion. The author Donald Miller says of our faith in Jesus, we're saved not from trouble, we're saved in trouble. And this is our encouragement, and this is Jesus' desire for our lives. It means that we're super, super, super safe. because it's only in Jesus that we can be saved. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away, you who were once far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." God wants us to come near, to come so near to him, really close, because there isn't a safer place for us to be. There's no more comforting space for us to hold than being close to Jesus. And we need him. We need him to draw us to that place. Jesus died to take our sin and to deal with it, as we've just been celebrating here, in order for God to look on us with the same joy and the same wonder that he looks on Jesus with. So Jesus invites us to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Where is the Holy Spirit drawing us into that closer relationship? Because there's something really important in this passage that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. This is why Jesus says to his disciples, "It's for your own good that I'm going away." The helper he is sending can only speak to us about how good God is. He can only speak to us about how God sees us. And God's heart is to draw us very, very close to him. The Holy Spirit is forbidden from telling us that we are useless. The Holy Spirit is forbidden to tell us that we're rubbish. The Holy Spirit isn't allowed to tell us what so many of us believe about ourselves. The Holy Spirit cannot do that. And so when we listen to things that draw us away from God, it is not the Holy Spirit who is talking to us. We are believing the lies of the enemy. So who are we listening to today? The voice that tells us that we are cherished. The voice that tells us that if we were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for us. Are we listening to the person who says, "You can, you will, you are precious"? Or are we listening to a voice that says, "Remember when you did? Remember when you said?" Who are we listening to today? I wonder whether God, through the Holy Spirit, is calling some of us to repent today of listening to the wrong voice. I wonder whether the Holy Spirit is calling us to repent of the lies that we are believing about ourselves, because that keeps us away from God instead of drawing us really close to him. So we're going to spend a moment, we're going to pray. You might, I'm going to encourage us to stand up. Let's stand up. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and to reveal to us where our hearts, where our minds, where our thinking, as well as maybe our behaviours, might need repenting of. That just means saying sorry to Jesus and turning round and walking in a different way. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Challenge us. so that we might be brought into the very safe presence of God. As we were worshipping earlier, I was thinking of how many of us might find God in the beauty of nature. We might look at the most exquisite flower or marvel at the delicacy and the vibrant colours of a butterfly. And then I thought, that is how God sees me. And that is how God sees each of us here. With that same amount of wonder. That same amount of love. Awe. Imagine for a moment Jesus holding you the way you might hold a beautiful sunset in your mind. Imagine him holding you and saying, wow. Because that's what Jesus tells us. That is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because that's how God sees us. Holy Spirit, teach us to listen to your voice and not to the lies of the enemy who would try to keep us apart from you. Amen.